This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Our guest today is Republican candidate for Congress Jim Bussler. He is running in this summer's GOP primary against incumbent Congressman Fred Upton. Jim, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, we're also joined by Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Yvonne Zipp. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Gordon.
Before we get to questions, Jim, I'd like to have you just take about a minute here or so, introduce yourself to the audience, tell us who you are.
I'm Jim Bussler. I'm a lifelong resident of Dowagiac, Michigan. I'm a registered nurse, and I've been taking care of folks here in southwestern Michigan for about 25 years. And I would like to be a voice for the people in Washington.
Yvonne, first question for Jim Bussler.
Can you talk a little bit about what inspired you to run for Congress?
Boy, there's a lot of ways to answer that question. I guess the quickest and easiest answer would be that I feel that the individual is underrepresented in Washington, and that we need to get back to being concerned about the rights of individuals.
Give us some specific examples, if you would. Where are the rights of individuals being trampled upon, and what would you do as a member of Congress to try to address it?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, if you want to go with just recent news items, I mean, take a look at the revelations of Edward Snowden, and you find out that a very large part of our representation in Washington not only knew about this, but voted to make it possible to spy on the American people, that our electronic communications being stored by the NSA. I find that reprehensible, that we can be watched and our activities of daily life being tracked by the government without due process of law. I think that is a life-stealing, prosperity-killing prospect to have a centralized power keeping track of its citizens like this when there's been no harm to person or property.
Of course, a lot of the enhanced surveillance started after the terrorist attacks in 2001. Do you think it was possible to make this nation safe, relatively secure, maybe not guarantee that there wouldn't be another attack, but make it very difficult and not have some of the enhanced surveillance which we've added?
I think that I remember 2001 very well. I was taking pre-med classes, and I was in Calculus 1 at the time when the towers were hit. It was a very emotional time. 95%, I believe, of the American public right after that wanted to go after whoever was responsible. But if you look at statistics, you are three times as likely to be struck by lightning than you are to be harmed by a terrorist. And I think that our focus should be on scenarios that are more likely to damage people. I mean, we're spending so much money, trillions of dollars, on this war on terror. We don't really know who we're fighting. When Al-Qaeda is in Iraq, they're an enemy. When Al-Qaeda is helping the rebels in Syria, they're our friends. It's a very confusing situation that we're in. I think it'd be better if we focused on things like heart disease that kills 700,000 people a year. Then those type of issues, I think, would be a better place to focus our time and effort towards.
Yvonne?
I know that sound money is one of your platforms. Can you talk a little bit about what you mean by sound money?
Yes. At the very basic, we should not be spending more than what we take in. We had, a trillion dollar deficit last year compared to the tax revenues and what we're bringing in. And every time we do that, we're putting the financial burden on people that aren't even in existence yet. We're living above our means today, and it's at the expense of our children and our great-grandchildren and grandchildren. So I would say the first idea for sound money is that you spend what you have available. You do not borrow into infinity to get the what you want today, I guess. It's not good to steal from the future.
Reading from your website, you at one point say that we should audit the Federal Reserve and then close its doors forever. Why should we do that?
I'll tell you why. The Federal Reserve is a privately owned, privately controlled central bank. I have nothing against central banks, but it should be completely under the discretion of the United States Treasury Department. There shouldn't be private ownership in it. And the Federal Reserve has a really interesting power of money creation that they are where you're able to profit. Thomas Edison pointed out quite a while ago that if the American government can issue a dollar bond, it can issue a dollar bill. The U.S. Treasury can create our money without having to pay interest to a privately owned entity such as the Federal Reserve. So where we could be printing our own money and not having to pay interest to anybody for it, we've chosen to go with this private entity that creates money for us, but then we have to pay the money back to them with interest. And that is really where the problem comes, I feel, with the privately owned central banking. You look at the 2008, there was a limited audit of the Fed. And this is something that you just do not see on the news much. But the one thing that we found out from the limited audit was that there was a $16 trillion loan made to large banking corporations. And that is not even included in our national debt of, you know, $17 trillion at this time. Why should a business that has a bad business model be bailed out by the people? And that's what the Federal Reserve allows to happen. That's really why we need to get rid of the Federal Reserve, is it's basically the name of the game is bailout. If you have a business model that is good, your business will stay going. If you have a bad business model, you should be allowed to declare bankruptcy, close the doors, because obviously that's not working. The American people should not have to bail out people's bad business ideas. That question, of course, is a hard. We could talk for hours about the Federal Reserve. America should issue its own currency.
This is not America issuing its own currency. I mean, it's being done within the borders of the United States of America.
The United States Treasury should be issuing the currency, not the Federal Reserve.
Devon?
Also on your website, you talk about wanting to abolish the IRS. Mm-hmm. Can you explain sort of what would you set up in its place, and why do you want to do that?
America was founded on the principle that the wage laborer does not have their wages taxed. That's what made America great, okay? Income tax is originally, when it was brought out, was brought out as a tax on passively earned money, which is income by definition. One of the things that have put us on a stranglehold here, and something that has stopped the poor from getting out of poverty and entering the middle class, is the fact of having to pay taxes on money that you earned by trading your life for it. In fact, it's, as far as I'm concerned, if you are trading your life for an hourly wage, you are giving up your most precious asset, and that is your time. We've maybe, a lot of people, you know, think that your success is measured in how much money you have or how much property you have. But the fact remains, and something that's illustrated as a nurse, is that the most valuable thing you have is your life. That's one of the principles that America was founded on, was on the preciousness of this. And it was not a taxable item. Direct taxation on your life is immoral.
How would the government raise revenue then? Where is the government going to get revenue from?
The government up until 1913, the government what? We fought 8 wars. We built bridges. We built buildings. We built monuments in Washington, D.C., all without the income tax that we have today. The taxes that were raised then were excise and tariffs, basically essentially use taxes, where if you want that, whatever the benefit is, you pay the tax on it. Not something where when you tax a person's life, you basically are talking about feudalism here. You're talking about having to work 3 days a week for the lord of the manor and 3 days a week to support your family. Right now, the average American has to work until near the end of April to pay all the taxes and fees that are required of them by law. I think that if we dial that back, you're going to have prosperity. The idea of abolishing the IRS, the IRS is a very heavy-handed way to get money. Why not just tax people at a set rate, have it automatically taken out of their pay without having to file forms? I mean, aren't we beyond this?
Set rate. Do you mean everybody? Flat tax?
Everybody just pays the same rate.
But how does that help people get from lower to middle class? I mean, 15% out of the...
Well, first of all is you don't tax people when they've traded their life for money. You don't tax that. People get the worker that goes and trades their life for an hourly wage keeps their money.
So national sales tax?
That definitely is an interesting idea, an interesting way to look at it. Because right now, the fact is that the wealthiest, if you are rich enough, you really don't end up paying any taxes at all. So, you know, we need a more fair taxing system. We need a way to raise revenue that the government cannot use to target people.
Okay, but is the IRS really the agency that's targeting people, or isn't that the tax laws which are written by Congress?
I'm talking about the ability for the executive, regardless of who's in, if it's George Bush or Barack Obama, using it against their enemies.
How do you collect the money, though? I mean, doesn't there have to be some agency that makes sure that that money is collected? National sales tax or anything else?
You know, obviously there could be a clearinghouse, but I think that when you fill out the 1040, I mean, what are you doing? You're reporting on yourself, and you're reporting on yourself in a manner that could be used against you in a capital crime. I mean, you have to sign under penalties of perjury. I'm talking about the Fifth Amendment here. I'm talking about not having to witness against yourself. I mean, there's a lot of things that there's a lot of moral issues that come in when you are requested by an entity like the IRS to reveal things about yourself that really you shouldn't have to. There are other ways to get revenue for our government than having a bloated bureaucracy that is basically sucking the gas right out of American people every day. I don't know what we've been doing for the last 50 years in this country is obviously not working. And I throw out abolishing the IRS because we need to try something different. Do I think that a national sales tax or a flat tax or a fair tax is going to overnight fix the solution? No, but I do think that we need less bureaucracy in government and getting rid of something the size of the IRS would definitely be a good step when it comes to people's individual freedom and their ability to direct their lives as they see fit. I get a lot of questions about the abolish the IRS, and the final point on that is, who is in control of the IRS? Is it us, or is the IRS and the government in control of us? Can't we, as American citizens, figure out a more civil and less intimidating way to collect money to pay for the bills of our country than through an entity such as the Internal Revenue Service? And the fear that people have at the beginning of every year having to do their taxes. You know, I consider ourselves that we're the boss, and that it's up to us to create the community and the country that we want to live in. And that's why I don't feel it's that extreme of an idea. Let's try something else.
Yvonne?
You also talk about getting government out of the food system. Mm-hmm. How would you go about making sure that the food we eat is safe at that point?
Well, you know, I have to first tell you, I guess I got to ask you a question. Do you feel that the food, the quality of the food with the herbicides and pesticides and growth hormones is safe? This is where we've gotten to with the FDA. Are we being protected at this moment? Is the what? All of these chemicals are allowed in our food supply with a regulatory agency like the FDA and the USDA.
But someone might argue that the flip side of that is you should have tighter regulations, that the FDA should be doing its job better rather than just abolishing it, because it doesn't seem as though herbicides and pesticides are going to go away if there isn't an FDA.
As far as I can tell, the FDA and the USDA are pretty much interested in one thing, and that is protecting profits of large multinational corporations. I think about a local farm here, Big Head Farms is an organic farm. They just recently had a person show up, no court order, no search warrant, and tell them to dump all the $6,000 worth of cider they just made. And they said that they never tested the cider. They never did any laboratory testing, and they said, well, we heard that your cider has been contaminated. That was all that they were told, and they had to dump everything out. This is a family farm. We go to a grocery store, and the food quality that people get to choose from, half the stuff in the store is full of there's snack cakes and these things that people are living on, and the FDA says that's okay. But yet we have farmers in America that are in jail for selling raw milk. See, this is illogical.
But again, I'm wondering, how do we get to a better place if there is no agency there at all? Because if people
need to be able to choose what they put in their bodies. People need to be able to decide what food they want and what food they don't want. We do not need the government deciding what is safe and what's not safe. Humans have been eating for thousands of years, and we can figure out quality-wise what we want to eat. I'm just trying to see where the benefit has been having years of regulation from the USDA and the FDA. Food stuff now, like, for instance, if you're a meat eater, a farmer cannot raise beef on their property and butcher it on their property and sell it to people directly. Okay, they have to take their livestock, has to be shipped to a facility and to be butchered there, and then people can purchase it. There are regulations that stop the family farm from actually utilizing all their creative power and their industry to make a living for themselves. It's the FDA and the USDA that make these rules. Why? When you know that the outbreaks, the E. coli, this comes from large butchering operations inside cinder block buildings where there's no sunlight. There has to be chemicals and stuff sprayed on everything to keep the area clean. It's dark. It's moist. It's a breeding ground for bacteria.
Won't that still exist, though, minus an FDA?
Well, it's different on a family farm, okay? It's a different situation because when you butcher chickens, for instance, you do this when the sun is high in the sky. The sun sanitizes the area, and it is way more cleanly. There's less bacteria. I mean, if we can give you the research on this.
Okay, but won't that corporation, however, still be able to come in at a much lower price and sell their product cheaper than the family farm?
You know what?
Let
the corporation make the food the way they want to, but leave the family farm alone, and we'll see who wins. We'll see who wins. $2 for a dozen eggs from a family farm that has no herbicides, no pesticides in it, no growth hormones, or $2 for a dozen of eggs from a corporation where the chickens have never seen the light of day. See, the FDA and the USDA has made it legal to have these chickens in basically chicken concentration camps where they never see sunlight. They're given feed and antibiotics so that they can live in these close quarters, and they produce eggs that have these poisons in them. I mean, they even have to put a chemical in the feed so that the egg yolks will be yellow, because an egg yolk will not be yellow unless it gets sunlight. I'm just trying to show you that USDA, FDA are maybe they're trying to do good, but inadvertently they are ensuring that we have a subpar food supply.
Go ahead, Yvonne.
I guess I'm not disputing what you're talking about in terms of factory farms or large-scale operations versus, you know, the
local
small
source.
Versus local source. But there's a price with that. So what do you do for – because it's not $2 versus $2. It's $3.49 versus $1.79. And what if there aren't regulations protecting people who can't pay for the organic? I guess that's my question.
Okay. Well, now I'm not talking about necessarily organic food. That's a whole other topic. But
free range is also in that.
You know, a common sense solution to this is, number one, people should be able to have chickens in their backyard. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Joel Saladin or not. He's a farmer in
sure.
in Virginia. Okay. Love this guy. Okay. I think about a couple of his books that I've read in there, and he points out, I think the issue pretty well, that one of the greenest things that a person could do is have a chicken in their backyard. Okay, we think it's nonsense today because we're all modern and such, but the fact is, having chickens in your backyard stops the gas that needs to be spent to haul eggs into the grocery store. All of your organic, not your organic waste, but your organic waste that decomposes can be fed to the chickens. You get eggs out of the process. I mean, you're saving on landfills. These are the type of ideas that need to be put out there. I'm not going to be defending the whole factory idea. I want to bring new ideas to people, to empower people to have better food. It's not expensive to have clean food if you're allowed to grow it, if you're allowed to do it yourself. So, and I also think that the price on this stuff would come down. It would come down just out of the fact of people entering the marketplace, your local farmers. I think that it would become more affordable for everybody. I mean.
Okay, we're down to our last few minutes, so let's deal with some politics here.
Okay, sorry.
Certainly at this point, I think you would agree that in this point in 2014, you are less well-known in the 6th Congressional District than Jack Hogendyke was at this point in 2010 or in 2012. Mm-hmm. According to the latest information on the Federal Elections Commission website, you have raised less than $1,000?
About $1,600 now.
$1,600 now, okay. Mm-hmm. The website as of this morning still had it at about $800.
We have another quarter in there.
Okay. That's not a lot of money to run against a 26-year incumbent of Congress.
Absolutely not. absolutely. I agree with you when it comes to the finance. The fact is that the people need a representative. They need somebody in Washington who is actually going to have their thoughts and desires at heart, their lives, their liberty, their pursuit of happiness at heart, not large multinational corporations. And if people can't stand politics and can't stand politicians, and they want somebody in office that's going to stand for them, I am the person. Regardless, I'm not going to have corporations knocking down the doors to give me money. And like Fred, like other people that are running, because I'm not interested in perpetuating this crony capitalism in Washington, D.C. I'm interested in helping everybody in America in their pursuit of happiness. And if it's up to the people. It's up to the people.
So then how do you get your message out if you can't afford to buy TV ads or the traditional ways of, you know,
I'm going back to the old traditions, which is before TV, lots of door knocking, lots of word of mouth, lots of meet and greets every single day. January kind of slowed us down because a lot of stuff got canceled there. But from the people that I speak with, I get a great response. I think that people are tired of business as usual. And for once in a long time, the 6th District actually has somebody who's interested in actually having a level playing field for everybody, the poor included.
If Fred Upton has not been representing the true interests of the people of the 6th District, why has he been routinely winning re-election now for 20-some-odd years?
Fred has catered to special interests. Fred has a huge battle chest of money, and that money's not coming from, you know, people that are making $30,000 a year. These are not people that are the everyday person. I think that the biggest problem with Fred is that I don't believe that he takes his oath seriously. I don't think he takes an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution seriously. He's voted for every spying law that's come through on the people. He's never stood up once against NDAA 2012 that allows the unlawful arrest and detention of American citizens without due process of law, not even a word of disgust. Those are the things that make a free society prosperous, is privacy, liberty, the ability to direct your life and not have a committee in Washington making decisions for you. People get to choose. They can choose me, or they can choose someone like Fred, who is a top down approach where you've got people in Washington and lobbyists and bureaucrats making the decisions for you. I mean, it's as plain as that. I don't know. I don't think that he's been representing the. I don't think he's been representing the people. I think he's been representing large corporations.
Jim Bussler, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Jim Bussler is a Republican candidate for Congress. He is challenging GOP incumbent Fred Upton in this summer's primary. Thanks again to Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thanks so much.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.